Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. My email site is markheff20@gmail.com. I have another one, sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. MMM for your Monday. How are you doing today? Our number, 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. That is the number for you to call and listen and, you know, pose some questions to Mark. He will text or message those questions to me, 347-205-9631. Well, the California State Football Regionals are taking place this coming weekend throughout the state of California. The Open Division game will take place the following weekend at Saddleback College in Mission Viejo. That's between Sarah of San Mateo against St. John Bosco. S.J. Bosco knocked off, upsets Modern Day for the Southern Section Division I crown this past weekend. So St. John Bosco representing the South, and Sarah of San Mateo, the alma mater of Tom Brady, is representing the North. Not many years ago, I did a game between Sarah and Tulare Union. This is when Kazmir Allen, who's now at UCLA, was the star at Tulare Union. He had about 300-plus yards in that game total offense, but his team got beat 69-35. The team that beat them was Sarah San Mateo. That was in Division II. I think that year Sarah played in Division IIA. Now they're in the big game, Open Division, so they continue to move on their program. But regional action, those games are happening this week. 28 games throughout California. These are some of them. Of the North Division I AA, it's De La Salle at Folsom. Now, Folsom won the first encounter by 3 points earlier in the year. That was Friday night, 7:30 p.m. In the South Division I AA, it's Lincoln San Diego at Sierra Canyon. That's Friday at 7:30 p.m. Lincoln knocks off Carlsbad of the San Diego section crown Open Division. In the North Division I A, it's Manteca at Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Pirates of Pittsburgh, California. That's about a half hour away from where my sister lives in El Sobrante in the Bay Area. That game Saturday at 6. And the South, Division 1A, Liberty of Bakersfield at Yorba Linda. That's Saturday at 6. Liberty, I did their game when they beat San Luis Memorial Friday for the Central Section Division 1 Championship. Liberty's second consecutive title and the third overall. Yorba Linda this year, they won the Southern Section Division 4 crown, moved them up to Division 1 for the state. That's kind of unusual. Yorba Linda, which is southeast of L.A., is 13-0. North, Division II AA. Lemoore, from here in the Central Section, at McClyman's in Oakland. That's Friday at 7:30 p.m. And then South, Division II AA. Modern-day Catholic in the San Diego area at Downey, Friday at 7:30 p.m. One last game, North, Division II A. Marin Catholic at San Ramon Valley, Saturday at 6. Now, next weekend, Friday, December 9th at Saddleback College in Mission Viejo, you have a couple of games taking place. At 4 p.m., the Division 2AA State Bowl Final, and at 8 p.m., the Division 1AA State Final. Three big games on Saturday to close it out. That would be at 12 p.m., the Division 2A Bowl Final. At 4 p.m., the Division 1A Final. And 8 p.m., the Open Division Final between Sarah San Mateo and St. John Bosco. All the other games from Division 3 AA on through Division 7A will be played at home sites of the team with the best seeds. Okay, National Football League, AFC East. The Dolphins and the Bills are 8-3. The Jets are 7-4, so a great race there in AFC East. And, you know, the Patriots are not far back at 6-5. In AFC West, the Chiefs are 9-2 after defeating the Rams 26-10. Chargers hanging in there. For the last-second touchdown, two-point conversion, they're 6-5. In the AFC North, the Ravens and Bengals are 7-4. Remember, the Bengals started the year 0-2. And AFC South, Titans have that division at 7-4. NFC East, Eagles 10-1. Have not been playing that well recently. It seems like they've been sliding through some of their games, thanks to Jalen Hurst. But it doesn't seem like they're playing great football. They're not playing elite football yet. They're 10-1. But remember, when you go into the playoffs and in the playoffs, you want to be playing your best football. And they're winning games, but I have not been impressed with the Eagles over the past three contests. I've seen all of them. Cowboys 8-3, Giants 7-4. NFC West, Niners took over first place with the record 7-4. They won yesterday 13-0. While the Seahawks lost in OT against those Raiders. Seattle 6-5. By the way, the Niners, in their four straight wins, have not allowed a point in the second half in four consecutive games. NFC North, the Vikings 9-2. NFC South, we have the Bucks at 5-6, leading on division. They lost yesterday. The Falcons 5-7, and they lost. So we may have an 8-9 team win the NFC South. But they will get into the playoffs because they will be a division winner. Will it be Tampa Bay? Will it be Atlanta? Week 12 scores. Bills, 28, Lions, 25. Cowboys, 28, Giants, 20. Vikings, 33, New England, 26. Dolphins, 30, Texans, 15. The Panthers, 23, the Broncos, 10. The Bengals, 20, Titans, 16. The Jets, 31, the Bears, 10. Commanders, 19, the Falcons, 13. In OT, the Browns, 23, Tampa Bay, 17. Jaguars, surprise over the Ravens, 20-27. No, they went for the touchdown, too. They're late and a conversion. Chiefs, 26, Rams, 10. Rams started 2-1, 3-8 since. I hear that Aaron Donald has a high ankle sprain. That leaves him doubtful for next weekend. Will Matthew Stafford play? He has started one of the past three games. And in the middle game, he only played a half. That was last week. Either due to a concussion or a neck sprain. So they've been using their basically third-string quarterback, Perkins, who's a better runner than he is a passer. Of course, Cup is out. 9-13, Saints nothing. Chargers 25, Cards 24, last-minute victory. The Raiders 40, Seahawks 34. Taylor had over 225 yards rushing in that game, Joshua Taylor. Eagles last night 40, Green Bay 33, in a game that was closer than it should have been. Our number, 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Okay, Thursday night, the Bills went to the Pats. You know, a big game for both teams because Buffalo wants to maintain at least a tie for the lead in the AFC East. And the Pats are kind of like hanging on a thread there in the playoff race at 6-5. Sunday, Packers, the Bears, really no big deal there. Neither of the teams really going to make the playoffs. Steelers and Falcons. Steelers trying to hang in there. They're really kind of on the outside looking in. The Falcons are 5-7. They still have a chance to win their NFC South division. The Jets and the Vikings. And the Vikings want to have a great record, stay close to Philadelphia in a race for the best record in the NFC. And then the Jets are trying to make the playoffs, just the Vikings. Jags and Lions, both teams have improved over last year, but neither really is going anywhere. The Titans are the Eagles. Titans stumbled yesterday. Eagles trying to maintain that one-game lead over Minnesota for best record in the NFC. The Titans, of course, are going to win their division, but record's always important down the stretch. Browns, the Texans, bigger for the Browns. Commanders, the Giants, big for both teams. They try to fight it out there in the NFC East for a playoff spot. Seahawks, like the Rams, not a big deal for the Rams except to try to win a game. But who will be playing for them? Seahawks have lost two straight. One back now in San Francisco. Rams have dominated them over the years, but Seahawks have a better team right now. The Chargers at the Raiders. Big-time game. Raiders trying to stay afloat with seven losses. Chargers trying to stay close to KC. At this point, they're 6-5. Chiefs and Bengals, big for both teams as far as playoff seedings are concerned. Colts and Cowboys, big time for both teams. Saints and Buccaneers, bigger for the Buccaneers than the Saints. NBA Eastern Conference. Celtics are now 16-4, with the best record in basketball. The Bucks are 14-5, Cavaliers 13-7, and Pacers 11-8. In Western Conference, Suns 13-6, Nuggets 12-7, the Grizzlies 12-8, and the Pelicans flying high 11-8. Watch out, though, for those Golden State Warriors. They start off slowly. Now they're 11-10. They scored about 135 points yesterday, and a big win on the road at Minnesota. Our number. 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. This is MMM on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. My name is Mark Heffernan. My two email addresses are markheff20@gmail.com or sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. Well, about 10 minutes after the top of the hour, should be time for our special guest today. And he is from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He's a sports writer, podcaster, broadcaster. His name is Luke Brown. Luke, how's it going? Welcome to MMM.
Going very well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Pretty good. Hey, man, how's your weekend? I heard you had a very busy weekend covering sports.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was over at some of the regional high school football games for my area, at some of the really good games, doing camera work and a little bit of writing. I was at 3 football games, so it was very busy, but a lot of fun.
Well, you're a statistician for a Penn Live broadcast of McDevitt District 3 Championship, then Harrisburg District 3 Championship. You were the camera operator. That was on Saturday. Tell me what's it like to be a statistician. You got to be on top. You have to be on top of your game, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, and I love doing stats. I got to McDevitt thinking that I was going to do stats, had my stat sheets printed out, but as I'm sure you're very aware in this business, things always are flipped around, so they need a camera guy, and I was the camera guy for that game instead of doing stats. But I've done stats for Penn Live's games. I'm mainly the play-by-play guy for Penn Live, but stats are a lot of fun. It keeps you involved in the game so much, and you really absorb most of the game when you're doing stats because you really see, like, oh, like, it's been 13 plays. This guy has 147 yards or something. You know, you're really involved, and that's what I like about it.
Bringing down a ball statistician for my games, I've done 5 playoff games in the last 4 weeks, and I'm kind of my own stat guy, but I take very, very moderate stats, to say the least, because I'm busy doing play-by-play. I don't have a commentator. They haven't used a commentator with me this year, so I'm kind of being the play-by-play and the analyst and all that kind of stuff. And games go by very quickly. But are you doing stats on a sheet or via a computer?
Usually I've done stats once for Penn Live, and I like to do it on paper. You never know how the Wi-Fi is going to be at games or
if your
computer dies all of a sudden or something. So I like to do it on paper. I use a lot of tally marks and that type of stuff. I don't have a ton of stat-keeping experience, but I've always done it on paper.
Do you go to a certain website to get, like, a stat sheet that's very specific?
Yeah, I browsed around a little bit for a stat sheet here, and I can actually look it up here. But I like to use either the STAA website, Sportscasters Talent of Agency of America website, or sportscasterlife.com. They have some good stat sheets as well. But I think what I did this weekend when I thought I was keeping stats was just look up on Google stat sheet football or stat sheet basketball, if you're calling a basketball game, and just go to Google Images and find one that you like, because on there there will be 1,000 different options. You can find one that you like.
Well, tell me what it's like to be a camera operator. I've done that a little bit, but primarily for dance recitals, even though I'm more of a sports guy. My daughter danced for many years, and the guy said I did a pretty good job, so that's cool. But what are you trying to look for? What is your role as a camera operator? What are you trying to capture?
It always, I feel like, depends on your role. Friday night, we had one camera, smaller setup, so just following the action, trying to get the ability for the people at home to watch what's going on and listen to the broadcasters and see what's going on. But in between plays, I'm a guy that likes to really capture the game, see what's going on at the game. So shots of the fans buying French fries, shots of the cheerleaders, shots of the players on the sideline. You know, Saturday I was with a bigger setup. It was a television camera, so I wasn't following the action entirely. I was following the action from a different angle towards the end zone. And then in between plays, it's one of those things, again, where you're trying to find things on the sideline that are interesting, things in the stands, trying to really paint a picture of what's going on at the stadium.
What did you find that was happening in the stands or on the sidelines this past weekend? Anything you can talk about? Any extra storylines on the perimeter?
Yeah, I thought that it was really cool. the band at Harrisburg High School was very into the game because they were about to win the district championship. So they were super into the game. On the sideline, there was some frustration on one of the sidelines because it wasn't going their way. So trying to get your camera into that, zoom into that huddle and see, like, what does the huddle at least look like? And I think it's important to set up the broadcasters in a way that they can see what's going on in your camera and say, like, oh, and look how exciting the Harrisburg fans are because they're about to win the district championship. You know, things like that that are important.
I'm getting some questions from some of the listeners, and usually from Cavi in San Francisco. It's usually kind of a stupid question because he's definitely a homer for the San Francisco teams. He goes, are the Rams dead yet, Mark? Yes, they are dead, Cavi. They've been dead for a long time. When your regular quarterback's been injured, had a bad elbow and concussion problems, had a great season last year, came through in the clutch and hasn't played very well, and you do have a lousy offensive line with a lot of injuries, you don't have a true NFL running back, and you have Cooper Kupp, my favorite player, one of the best in the NFL, hurt since week 9, and then Aaron Donald has a high ankle sprain, so your three highest paid players is Donald, Stafford, and Cooper Kupp injured. You're not going to be the same thing. He goes, first team to have a losing record 3-8 after winning a lousy Super Bowl the year before. Well, the way I look at it, it's a Super Bowl win. Why is it a lousy Super Bowl? Because they beat the Niners in NFC Championship. That's why it's a lousy Super Bowl. They were the best team last year, but it all counted. That's all that matters. Dell from Corvallis, Oregon. The Beavers pulled a stunner. I think Ohio State should be ahead of USC. I disagree, Dell. USC should be ahead of Ohio State. Now, Ohio State, that was their first loss of the year. They were pathetic in the second half. You talk about USC's defense. USC's defense played pretty well against Notre Dame. Ohio State has a wimpy defense. Michigan ran over them, threw them, and around them in the second half. That was horrible, the kind of long runs that Michigan put up. Ohio, it's not so much the fact they lost a game. It's the fact they lost at home, and they were hammered in the second half of a big game. I look at when you lose, how much you lose by, and what time of the year you lose. To me, USC is ahead of Ohio State. Ohio State is out of the top four. Okay, let's see. Derek from Duluth, Minnesota, high school football, the best, Mark. Out here, it's college hockey, the best in the country. Let's see. Don from Sugarland, Texas, Astros just signed Abreu from the White Sox. This dude can flat out hit. And from Huntington Beach, here come the Chargers, Mark. I feel bad. These guys rip you and the Rams. Cavi must be drunk each week. Well, he's drinking something, and I'm not really sure, but here's the whole thing. Obviously, I was at a Just Wing It yesterday and watching the Rams play KC, and I thought they did okay when you consider the talent they have. I don't think the Rams have a lot of talent. And then watching all the Niner fans just going berserk to the left of me, the Niners would lose 3 yards, and people would be clapping. Why are you clapping when I lose 3 yards? A Kansas City fan to my right. This guy clapped all the time. You realize a Kansas City player had a 10-yard loss and the guy was clapping. I said, dude, do you know what you're looking at? Do you know anything about football? The fact you wear Mahomes' jersey doesn't mean jack to me. So, okay, well, here's the whole thing, and I don't play for the Rams. I've been a fan since the late 60s. They had a lot of down years. They had some bad years when Jeff Fisher was head coach. They had a 3-13 year. When they were 3-4 and started to lose, I told my brother they won't win again the rest of the season. I don't think they'll win another game. At the most, they may win one more game this year. One thing, I think a lot of guys have called it in, even though they get that nice paycheck every 2 weeks, and plus you have some injuries. But most teams they're playing have more motivation to win than they do. The Rams never looked like they came ready to play this year, and it showed that combined with injuries and other teams have improved. And so I say it like it is. I'm not really a homer. I'm not a homer as a broadcaster or as a fan. Now, I didn't like what I was watching yesterday. It was kind of boring. But we have a lot of Niner fans here where I live in Bakersfield. We're like 4.5 hours away. My sister, you know, lives in the Bay Area. And, you know, those people are always jumping all over the place. My question is, I asked a friend of mine who's a Niner fan, what's a successful year to you? He goes, winning the Super Bowl. I said, are you going to get to the Super Bowl? I mean, they look great on defense, but they play the Rams and some really bad teams on offense. I mean, remember last year I told them they got to the NFC Championship and they lost. So what is a successful year for the Niners? Is it getting to the Super Bowl? Is it winning it all? And do you think they will win it all? So I pose that question to you, Luke Brown. Are the Niners getting to the Super Bowl, and are they going to win it this year?
The 49ers, I don't see them very often, but I definitely would not call them a Super Bowl contender just based off of some of the games that they've won. I mean, they've had a pretty impressive season, but there's a big difference between going through your NFC West opponents and your out-of-division opponents than going to play in the postseason. I mean, there's a lot of really good teams that are going to be in this postseason. And I look at the Chiefs, who they played on October 23rd, as a prime example of that is the Chiefs beat them by 21 points. Well, the Chiefs are one of those teams that are like a playoff team. They're a playoff-caliber team, obviously. So if you're losing to the Chiefs by three touchdowns when you're facing playoff opponent rather than your in-division opponents, then there's a problem, I think.
The Rams actually played fairly well against Casey yesterday. Bryce Kirk is a quarterback. He's a better runner than he is a passer. His first ever NFL start, undrafted, you know, free agent, went to UVA years ago. But, you know, they just don't have the talent to match Patrick Mahomes and the other people. But they held Casey to a lot of field goals. So I think losing 26-10 is not that bad. The problem I have with the Rams, they can't score more than 10 points. How can you win in the NFL when you can barely score double digits? No matter what kind of defense you have, it's hard to win a game 10-9 or 11-8. They just don't score enough points to win. And they're probably only averaging about 13 a game. But enough with the Rams. As far as the Niners are concerned, they've won every game since they lost to Kansas City, and they would not play the Chiefs until, you know, the Super Bowl if they got that far. But let's look at what people consider the top teams in NFC right now. You have Philadelphia, who's 10-1, who I don't think has played that well the last 3 weeks. I've seen their last three games, and they've kind of struggled a little bit on defense, and the best runner is the quarterback. I think that's a problem sometimes. Hopefully, Jalen does get hurt. You have them at 10-1. Then you have Minnesota with two losses, and they haven't really looked great recently. And then you have Dallas and New York Giants and a few other teams. And how do you look at the Niners against Philadelphia? How do you think they'd match up against Philadelphia, and how do you think they'd match up against Minnesota? They'd be playing those teams on the road.
Yeah, I'm a close to Philadelphia guy, so I hear a lot about team.
Yeah,
and,
Eagles, think, man, let's go.
but I think that they'll struggle against teams like that because, I mean, they've played the Vikings already, and that was when they were really hot. The big question with the Eagles are they going to be able to stay hot throughout the next 6 weeks of the NFL season? They have some really good teams coming up, and I think that that question is going to be answered within the next 4 weeks. They play the Titans, they play the Giants, and then they play the Cowboys, which are going to be, I think the Cowboys will be their biggest test of the regular season. Can they get past a really, really hot NFC contender? And then the question will be answered about the 49ers and the Vikings. Because it's all about the momentum that you're entering the playoffs into.
Bart from Utica, New York says, no one is beating the Bills. We play football in the snow, not that pansy 80-degree weather in California. So are you saying, Bart, that because they play in the snow that makes them tough? You think every player in Buffalo is tough because they play in the snow? I mean, actually, they didn't play in the snow last week. Didn't they have a lot of snow and they couldn't play, so they played somewhere else? So what are you talking about, Bart? They play in the snow when it's falling down and it's not that thick. But remember, people can get to the stadium. Wasn't a week ago? They didn't play in the snow and it's thick. So I'm not sure what you're talking about. You say no one is beating the Bills. So you're kind of still drinking that Buffalo Bills Kool-Aid from prior to the season when they were the Super Bowl favorite. Right now, they're tied for first place in the AFC East. I think Buffalo will be a part. We'll get to AFC semis or finals. I'm not really sure about the Super Bowl. The problem with them is sort of like Philadelphia. Their best runner is their quarterback. And there's a problem there because I was going to ask you about that, Luke. I don't see Jalen Hurts running like that against San Francisco. He takes off, tries to run 20, 25 games against the Niners. They're going to put him down and hurt him because they're a very physical team. Now, he slides well, but I think it's different trying to run against San Francisco. I mean, he's got to kind of like deter and give the ball to some other people from time to time and pass more. Against the Niners, as they play them. As far as quarterback Allen concerned for Buffalo, he's been dinged up a little bit lately. Not passing ball really as well. Made some mistakes. Had about 7 picks his last 3 or 4 games. He hasn't been playing an A game recently. So I don't think, you know, they're definitely in, like Bart thinks. And guess what, Bart? They don't always play in the snow like you think. Just figured out what happened a week ago. It always amazes when people come up with stuff. It's not really true. Now, 80-degree weather, we haven't had 80-degree weather in California for a long time. And let me tell you this, Bart, if you're used to the temperature in the 30s, could you come out here and play here or in Miami when it's 85 degrees? You're not accustomed to warm weather like that. You probably tire out early in the third quarter. There's two ways of looking at everything. I know about that. And it's not 80 degrees out here. It's been warmer, going to cool down. It's been in the 50s, early 60s, low 60s. It's going to drop down by the end of the week. But let me tell you, NFL players are not pansies, none of them. Some guys are better than other people. They're not pansies, and they're not pansies like you, Bart. Hey, thanks for listening to the program. I say like it is, Luke, on the program. Albert from Callaway, come on, Hef. Don't bash the Niners. They have beat you like 9 in a row. But you know what, Albert? They didn't win an NFC championship, so it's not a streak. They beat the Rams in regular season, but when it really counted, the game that really counted, the Rams won at SoFi, went to the Super Bowl, and won it last year. You can't take that away. They were Super Bowl champs in February. Yeah, the Rams stink this year, but you know what? Are the Niners going to win the championship this year, Albert? Are they going to get to the Super Bowl? Are they going to win it? Why do you think they got, you know, C-Mac? What are they getting for? To get to the Super Bowl and win it. Jimmy Garoppolo, is he going to the Jets after this year? I hear they're going to offer him $28 million per year. And what about Deebo Samuel? Can that guy stay healthy the rest of the season? Or is he going to be crying on the sidelines after the Niners get beat in the playoffs, like he did last year against the Rams? Did you see him sulking and crying on the sidelines? And hey, I understand they beat the Rams a lot in the regular season. But in the most important game of the last 2.5 years, the Rams won, people. Figure it out, Niner fans who come to SoFi Stadium. Stay in the Bay Area. In a most important game, the Rams won. That's why they're Super Bowl champions. When's the last time the Niners won a Super Bowl championship? Do you remember? Okay, let's get it straight. The Rams won the most important game. And the second game they played in regular season went overtime. The Niners tied it up, went an OT. It's not like it was a blowout or anything like that. Believe me, I know my football. I know the Rams, the Niners, and the Chargers. You can't tell me anything. I know the Rams suck. So what? Of course they suck now. Your team has sucked. You had your top players injured too. A.J. Pollock rumored to go to Pittsburgh. No big deal about A.J. Pollock. He's an older player with a lot of injuries. That's not a big deal. Bar from Utica, New York, bring your ass to Buffalo. Toughest division in football. Your division is a complete clown show. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Byron from Wheeling, West Virginia. Hey, Hef, the Rams paying you to do the show? No, Byron, nobody pays me to do the show. That's part of the problem. You want to get the honest truth? And definitely the Rams don't pay me to do the show. And I'm not saying anything on a positive basis about the Rams. Are you people actually listening to me? Or you just have your own little phrase, your own little narrative there, and you're not listening to what I'm saying because you're in your own little box with your own little opinions and think you know about everything. No. You don't take California team serious. I am with Bart. Well, did you beat the Rams last year? Did Buffalo play the Rams in the Super Bowl? No, it was the Bengals that played them. And who won the Super Bowl? Was it the Bengals? No, it was the Rams, okay? Yeah, but I appreciate you guys listening to the show, but you know what? You got to bring it a little bit more. Do you guys call the Jim Rome show and you think he's great all the time, his crazy little antics and, you know, playing the little replays of this and replays of that? Okay, you think he's great all the time? I don't think he makes a lot of sense, a lot of his comments. A lot of people call him, so they do not make any sense. I'm not sure what games you're watching, but let's put it this way. Yeah, the Rams are not good this year. I've already said that every week. I'm not here to talk about the Rams, but they won the Super Bowl in February, which means they were the best team in football when it really counted. They won 4 games in the playoffs. Clobbered Arizona, won 3 straight games in the clutch in the fourth quarter. That's why they're Super Bowl champs. How many teams do you think will win the Super Bowl this year? 1. All these teams you're watching, all your teams out there you think are great, most of them are not going to make it to the Super Bowl. teams playing tonight, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh. Let's put it this way. Neither of these teams are going to make it to the Super Bowl. Not Pittsburgh, not Indy. Should I go on? Let's look at a schedule for next week. I'll go right as Luke's on listening to me right here. I'm going to go and look at the schedule for next week, and I'll tell you who will not be in the Super Bowl. Let's go. Okay. The schedule for next week. Packers the Bears. Neither team will be in the NFC Championship. Steelers the Falcons. Neither team's going to get there. Jets the Vikings. Neither team's going to be in the Super Bowl. Jags the Lions. Forget it. Titans the Eagles. Maybe the Eagles. Maybe the Eagles in the NFC Championship in the Super Bowl. Definitely not the Titans. Browns the Texans. Neither team is going to be in the AFC Championship. Commanders the Giants. Neither team is going to be in their respective championship, NFC. Broncos and Ravens, forget it. Baltimore's not making it to the AFC title game, and the Broncos are not making it there. Dolphins and Niners. Niners are not making it there. Dolphins, possibly. Seahawks at Rams, neither team is making it to the NFC championship. Chargers at Raiders, neither team, AFC title game. Chiefs at Bengals. Chiefs, I think, definitely. Bengals, maybe. Colts at Cowboys. I don't think either team's making it. I don't think the Colts are making it to the AFC Championship. I don't think the Cowboys are making it to the NFC Championship. They're about the most overrated team in sports. Saints and Buccaneers, neither team is making it to the NFC Championship game. So you got it. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Come on. Give me your comments, people. I want to hear from you. Why don't you tell me who you think is going to be in the Super Bowl? And don't just tell me your team because they're your team. Give me some reasons why they're going to make it there. Give me some reasons the next 7 or 8 games of the season they're going to deliver. Not because they're your team. Give me some specific reasons. Let's talk about their offensive line, the running backs, the quarterbacks, their defense. How are they going to win games the rest of the year in the playoffs to advance that far? You heard from me. 347-205-9631. My guest, Luke Brown from Pennsylvania. And he's my guest on Mark Men Madison on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. My name is Mark Heffernan. Thanks so much for listening today and calling in. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's not necessary for you to call me and bash the Rams and me. I haven't said the Rams were a great team. I thought the Rams were a very good team last year. I think they were a great team. They were the last team standing. They're Super Bowl champs. You don't always have to be an elite team, a great team, to win a championship. You just have to play the best football at the right time. That's what they did. Now, last year has nothing to do with this year, but the fact is nobody can take away that Super Bowl from the Rams, just like nobody can take away the Super Bowl from Tampa Bay the year before they won in Tampa Bay. That's the way it is. Suck it up, people. Suck it up and take it. And you can't deal with the truth. That's your problem, not my problem. Listen to somebody else on the air then. Listen to somebody else who's going to kiss your ass and tell you how great your team is all the time, even when they're 3-6-1 or 4-5. Let's put it this way. These teams that have the record like the Rams are worse than the Rams, they didn't win it last year, and they didn't win it 2 years ago, and they didn't win it 3 years ago. They're like most teams. In a preseason, everybody thinks they're going to be Super Bowl contenders, the playoff contenders. They're all hyped up. And guess what? By this time of the year, most of the teams in the NFL are not going anywhere. They're playing out the season. They played 11 games. They're playing out the season, 17 regular season games. Figure that out. You don't have to watch all the press conferences and tell me how great your teams are. There are very few teams that have a chance to get to their conference championship and win the Super Bowl this year. 347-205-9631. So, Luke, you talked about, you know, being a camera operator and doing stats. Haven't you done some play-by-play or commentary in your young career?
Yeah. That's mainly what I do. I go to high school at high school near Harrisburg at Camp Hill, and I do all of their play-by-play for football events, major soccer events that we have, basketball, baseball, all of that stuff. And I do the play-by-play. I've kind of started up the broadcasting here. I'm the first broadcaster to do it at Camp Hill. And then I picked up a couple of jobs here and there. I'm doing play-by-play for PennLive.com, the biggest newspaper in Pennsylvania. They do their own web streams of high school sporting events, and I do that play-by-play or anything else that they need me to do for those streams. And then I try to find anything else that I can find. I started my own podcast on local sports here in the Harrisburg area, as well as just some freelance opportunities with other schools or other media outlets. And I try to get as much as I can.
Joe from Chesapeake Bay, the Ravens have lost four games in the last minute. He says Bills suck. I don't think the Bills suck. I'm not picking them to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. He says Ravens and Eagles Super Bowl. I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not that impressed with the Ravens. I like their coach, but they have some issues. I know KC has issues too, like most teams. Defense a little bit weak at times. They have Patrick Mahomes. They have Travis Kelce. And these guys are great tandem. One of the best ever in pro football. And they seem to come up with huge plays when it matters the most in critical situations in the fourth quarter, in the last 4 minutes of a game. Mahomes and Kelce, they deliver. They know how to do it. Not talk. They know how to do it. Brandon from Boulder, Colorado says, Deion Sanders has been offered the Buffalo's job there. I like that. What do you think, Luke? Do you think Deion should take that job or stay with Jackson State?
Sorry, I didn't catch the job.
He was offered the job at University of Colorado, the Buffaloes. You know, they've had a lousy year. Their football program's not going anywhere. If you're Deion, would you consider that job, or would you stay and continue coaching your son and the other guys at Jackson State?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it, is that he has his son there, and I think that if it was me, I would want to coach my son's college football career, because that's really special. But maybe when that's over and done with and you're still at Jackson State, maybe consider it working somewhere else. I mean, he obviously has a wealth of football knowledge, and he's really turning that program into something. But if I'm Deion Sanders and I'm getting calls left and right from major D1 programs, then I'm going to consider them, yeah.
Well, by the way, people are talking stuff about California. Why don't you look at the rosters of some of your teams in the Midwest and the Southeast Conference, okay, and even on the East Coast. Look where a lot of your players are from. Guess what state they're from? California. More than Texas, more than Florida. Have you ever checked out Oregon's football roster? Now, a couple years ago, they had 45 guys from California on the roster, of about 65. Some of them are from the Bay Area, De La Salle. Some are from Southern Cal. The softball team at University of Oregon, where my daughter went to school, half the players were from California last year. It should be Oregon/Cal. So before you bash California, you've got a lot of weirdos here. But when it has to do with sports and athleticism, why don't you show me a region of the country that has better athletes than the Southern section, LA City section, and San Diego City section? That's anywhere from south of us right here, south where I'm at, 100 miles south, all the way to the border. San Diego City section, LA City section, Southern section. Remember, modern day St. John Bosco in the Southern section. Who is better than them in the country, football? You want to see how many players from USC are from modern day in St. John Bosco? 13 the other day. Most of USC's quarterbacks from modern day. Modern day takes care of IMJ Academy in Florida, and modern day got beat by Bosco. Modern day had won about 29 straight. And Bruce Rawlinson, their head coach, is retiring at the end of this year, or retiring now since he got beat by Bosco last week. They have guys on their team that are better than most junior college teams, guys 2 and 3 years older. I mean, you want to look at why don't you check out their roster, look at their line, the size of their line, and their quarterback. Where do you think the quarterback of Alabama's from? Yeah, he went to those schools, yeah. Another future quarterback at Alabama, guess where he's from? Check it out. Former wide receiver at Alabama is now in the pros. He's from Northern California. So before you people talk about soft California teams, we're not soft out here. A lot of our players go to other schools because they recruit. Alabama recruits in Southern California. Georgia recruits in Southern California. All the schools in the SEC recruit in Southern California more than Northern California. Oregon recruits in Southern Cal and Northern California. They recruit Ron from the Central section. Look at the rosters, P, before you talk. Look how many California players are in schools all across the country. All across the country. Okay, the high school teams I see here in the CIF are as good or better than any teams in the entire country, including Texas or Florida. We have more athletes here. People play more sports here. Okay, we may be weird politically. It has nothing to do with me. Okay, I'm talking about athletes. Check it out. Look at rosters, Pete, before you open up your mouth. Don't believe everything that Jim Rome says or you hear on some of these other radio networks, okay? Check it out for yourself. Do some research before you open your mouth and start typing up. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. I say like it is, you know what I mean? I've been broadcasting sports for, what, about 35 years? Have a big game coming up, another state region coming up. It's Division III or Division IV. Kennedy from Delano taking on a school from Irvine. Would have been Liberty, but they're playing down south about 150 miles away. The Liberty plays next week in a state bowl game. I'm checking it out. Hopefully I'm doing it because we have, like I said, 5 bowl games at Saddleback College in Mission Viejo next week and 2 on Friday, 3 on Saturday. The rest are at the home sites with the best records. 347-205-9631. My guest, Luke Brown. Okay, Luke, you're a podcaster, a broadcaster, a sports writer. What kind of writing do you like to do as far as sports is concerned? Do you do feature stories? Do you write columns? Or do you go ahead.
Yeah, I do a lot of everything. With my podcast that I run on local sports, something that I've been getting into lately is contacting the athletic director of a school, going to the press box, doing Twitter updates for the high school sporting event, and getting my game story out about it later. And it's done very successful with the numbers and stuff because people like to read about high school sports, especially considering that there's not a million other outlets like there is for the NFL or Alabama football. You know, there's not that many places to read about the game. So people turn to you, which is really cool. But truly, my favorite is the feature stories. I like to hear about their lives. I like to hear about a really cool story, and I like to be able to tell it. I love to do interviews, and feature stories have been a lot of fun. And I also do weekly writing for Lancaster, Pennsylvania-based basketball outlet as well. So I do a little bit of everything, but feature stories are definitely my favorite.
Hey, look, why did you aspire to be a sportscaster and broadcaster?
My aspiration is to do play-by-play for, like, a major network or radio station for sure.
I want to ask you a question. This was happening a lot in 2020 where a lot of sportscasters were getting into social issues and they're giving their opinions about things they really know nothing about. And I'm the type of guy, I did some shows like that, but I felt kind of uncomfortable. And my daughter's a social worker. She's going for her master's in social work. She was a dual major in psychology and sociology. I don't really have that. I prefer talking about sports and other things, but I don't really like talking about those areas. And I felt a lot of guys were you know, going over the border. Do you think sportscasters on TV or radio should analyze social issues, even though most lack expertise in those areas?
I think that that's definitely a tricky question because I think everybody is entitled to their own opinion, and whatever they think is it's certainly a decision that they've got to make whether they want to share their opinion or not. Of course, everybody has opinions about what goes on in the world. I personally choose not to share them most of the time. I like to keep things to myself or to close friends, family.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think everybody has their opinions, and some people choose to share them, some people don't. But who knows what they know about the subject or not, really.
Monty Moore, the former broadcaster for the Oakland A's, and he owned a station in Porterville, just north of me here in Bakersfield. He once told me that a person could not do an adequate job being a play-by-play sportscaster and a talk show host. And he told me that in the early 90s. I didn't really agree with him then. And to me, he proved to be wrong in his statement there. I think what he's trying to say is that most talk show hosts have a lot of opinions, like what you were talking about, and they analyze and critique athletes. And you could do that as a talk show host, but you really can't do that as a play-by-play announcer. So I understand the premise, what he was trying to tell me. But I think I can adequately do them both. And the thing is, like on this show, I'll talk more about teams and not individuals that much. I'm talking about, you know, college and pro players, and generally most of the pickleball play I do is high school or junior college. So I think it can be done, but you have to be aware of what you're saying and how it's coming across. You know, the difference. When I'm doing play-by-play, I don't sound like I do doing this show, Markman Madness. Like the other day, you know, doing play-by-play and doing analysis, I'm just talking about that game. I'm not talking about the fact of who's standing or not standing for the national anthem or what's going on here to the right or left. So I've seen a lot of stuff in the last 3 or 4 years. I've never made those comments, you know, on the air. I never count how many guys were kneeling for the national anthem a couple years ago when I was doing a game in Oakland. I think it was 10 to 15 guys that were kneeling off to the right. And I noticed it. I was aware of it. I didn't mention it on the air. And if I was doing public address, I wouldn't mention it either. Because I do both. I do public address and I do play-by-play. And like when I doing PA work, you know, for high schools and JCs here in this area, I tell people to please stand and remove their caps if they have one on for the national anthem. I don't look around to see if who's standing, who's not. I really could care less. I mean, the thing is, I have to stand. If I didn't stand, I'd probably be fired. So I don't really have a choice in that issue. And whether I stand or I don't stand, it's not really going to change anything. But definitely be kind of dumb for me to tell people to stand when I'm kneeling or sitting on my butt when I'm telling people to stand. I mean, some things are logical and some things are very illogical. So during 2020, I had a few shows on a Markman Madness when it was like we had a Zoom type of broadcast. It wasn't an audio podcast. And I was kind of uncomfortable talking about a lot of things. And there are some people where I can talk sports with, and you get into social political issues, and they just like freeze up. They get very personal, and that's why I went off into others. So I think you have to choose that very, very carefully. Okay, I want to ask you, who have been the most influential people in your life, personally and professionally?
That's a really good question. I have a great support system with my family, so everybody in my family has been very influential. But in terms of, like, broadcasters, I think there's been a lot. I have a pretty close relationship with Ian Eagle, who is on CBS, for the folks that don't know, doing college basketball and NFL football, and he's one of the more influential people. He's told me really to not say no to opportunities, especially at a young age. And I've kept that with me for a long time, and any opportunity I get, I'm usually not a no guy, because it's important to have these opportunities as a young person. So he's definitely been influential for me. But some of my favorite broadcasters, I'm a big fan of Jim Nantz, who's also on CBS for the Masters and NFL football and college basketball. This is going to be his final March Madness this season for Jim Nantz, and he's been influential just because of the style that he broadcasts games is really something cool to see. But those have been some really influential people, especially Ian Eagle, because he's given me some advice that I think about every time that I get an opportunity to do something new.
Well, speaking of Ian Eagle, there's another Eagle that's a broadcaster, and maybe his brother, and I disagree with what this guy was doing a couple of weeks ago when UCLA played Arizona. He spent way too much time marketing and promoting Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I don't know if somebody paid him. People talk about me being a Rams homer. I'm not, if you hear me. I pretty much say it like it is. But the thing is, I got sick of I had to turn the volume down. I got sick of him promoting DTR. I'm a UCLA football fan. He's been there for 5 years. I think he's had a decent season, but he made bad mistakes mentally against Arizona, which cost him at home, and he made some mistakes against USC, had 4 turnovers. Now, he played well the other day with a victory, but he's actually been running better than he's been passing. The problem with him is he takes chances, throws the ball into coverage, and just made some mental mistakes in some of those back-to-back losses, which were crucial. They hadn't lost at home maybe in 2 seasons. They lost back-to-back games against Arizona and USC. Kept on saying, oh, this guy's cool, and he's this and that, and loves to play chess with the guys and trash-talk each other. I'm thinking, okay, I don't think he's the best overall player on UCLA's team, but I thought Zach Charbonnet should have carried the ball more against Arizona and against USC. Now, Charbonnet gained about 100 yards against USC with a 5-yard average, which was his lowest of the year, and had a big game against Arizona, but I know this love affair with DTR. I thought he was just over the top. And just went on and on and on about him. I know UCLA better than that Eagle guy. I'm not sure what he was watching. I've seen them. This guy play for 3 years. I've seen UCLA play 6 games. And he's a very good player of DTR. There's a reason why he came back to UCLA. Because he wouldn't have been a high draft choice in NFL. I'm still not sure he passes well enough to be an NFL quarterback. So coming back, did it help him? I'm not really sure if it did or not. Here's the whole thing. He could always play in Canada. I know he wants to play in the NFL, and he might, but I'm not sure he's going to pass for playing in the NFL. He's a very good runner, and he likes to, in a sense he's cool, in a sense he tries to trash talk. Here's the whole thing. In the NFL, don't waste your time trash talking 240-pound linebackers or linemen, because you know what? They're going to take you down sooner or later. So he needs to mature in that sense. He was a leader for UCLA's team, but I thought that he let the team down a little bit in two of the biggest games of the year. Fine year, fine season, and fine career at UCLA, but I thought he could have played better in those back-to-back games. You know, USC, of course, beat him 40-45. But one thing about me is that I will give my comments on the show, and so we have some interesting people told the guy this is a sports show. Not some guy thought this was like a court show. Luke Brown, my guest on Markman Madness. Luke, thanks a lot for being on the program. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can reach me through my Twitter at Luke Brown Sports. I'm on LinkedIn at Luke Brown. And yeah, I would say those are the two main ways that I'm able to be reached. Thank you for having me on the show. I'll make sure to keep listening to what you have to say about the NFL because you have a lot of hot takes, a lot of good things to say. But yeah, you can reach me at Luke Brown Sports over Twitter or over LinkedIn at Luke Brown. And I'm a writer, podcaster, broadcaster of sports in the Harrisburg, PA area. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, Luke, thanks a lot. And remember, I'm not always this way. Sometimes I'm a little more rabid than other weeks. It's just that I react to what people text in. And it's not so much, it's not an anger type thing with me, but some people don't, they can't tell me specifically why their team's going to be in a championship or a Super Bowl, except for the fact that that's their team. Now, the Rams are my team, but I'm going to tell you, they're not going anywhere this year. And it's very tough to repeat in the NFL. But to repeat, you got to have all your key players back. They got to play almost as well as we did the previous year. And they got to have health. And you have to be hungry. You know, it's different when you are trying to attain that goal than when you have that goal of a Super Bowl and you're trying to be there again. Teams in the NFL are hungry. Teams that didn't win last year, year before that, they're hungry to get back there. They have more motivation. And things change from 1 year to the next. That's just the way it is in pro sports. A lot of things can change in life. It changes sports within, you know, a 5 or 7 month period because of guys getting injured or just people not playing as well as they did the year before. I'm not making excuses for the teams. I'm just saying like it is. So thanks a lot for being on the program. You take care. And God bless you, man. Luke Brown.
Thanks so much.
Luke Brown on MMM today, 347-205-9631 is our number. Thanks so much for listening today and for giving me your text messages. Hey, I appreciate you folks calling in, giving your question to Mark, and then him relaying that to me. Hopefully I answer them as well as I can. That's pretty good. Okay, once again, in the NFL, coming up this week, Thursday, Buffalo Bills at the Patriots. I'm picking Buffalo. Packers at Bears, going with the Pack. Steelers at Falcons. Sorry, I'm going with the Falcons. Jets at Vikings. I'm going with Minnesota. Jags at Lions. I think I'll go with Detroit. Titans at Eagles. Going with the freaking Eagles. Browns at Texans. Yeah, got to be the Browns. Commanders at Giants. Commanders have been hot. I'm going with those New York Giants. Broncos at Ravens, taking Baltimore. Dolphins at Niners, going with the SF/Santa Clara Niners. Seahawks at Rams, I'll go with Seattle. Chargers at Raiders. I'm still going with the Chargers. You know, Derek Carr is from Bakersfield and playing better. Chiefs at Bengals. The Bengals have played very well since the 0-2 start. Still going with those Kansas City Chiefs, who are 9-2. Colts and Cowboys, going with those boys. the boys. Saints, the Buccaneers, Tom Brady will bounce back with a good game. Eastern Conference NBA, Celtics with a great start, 16-4. The Bucks are 14-5. Cavaliers, 13-7. The Pacers are 11-8. At Western Conference, the Suns are 13-6, shining brightly. The Nuggets are 12-7. The Grizzlies, 12-8. And the Pelicans at 11-8. Watch out for those Golden State Warriors, who are now 11-10, getting the offense in gear, trying to mesh, and doing so much better. Okay, with 12 scores yesterday in the NFL. Bills 28, Lions 25, some good games. Cowboys 28, Giants 20, Vikings 33, New England 26, Dolphins 30, Texans 15, Panthers 23, Broncos 10, Bengals 20, Titans 16, Jets 31, Bears 10, Commanders 19, Falcons 13, Browns 23, Tampa Bay 17 in OT, Jacksonville 28, Ravens 27, Chiefs 26, Rams 10, Niners 13, Saints 0, Chargers 25, Cards 24, Raiders 40, Seahawks 34, Eagles 40, Green Bay 33. Big game for Jonathan Taylor in that Raiders win, over 225 yards on the ground, including that long run for a touchdown in OT. As I head back to some of the games taking place in the state football regionals in California, which I think have the best athletes and have the best sports announcers. The best sports announcers and broadcasters are in California. I think they're in Syracuse or New York or New Jersey or in North or South Carolina or in Florida or in the Southeast. I think the best are here in California where I'm from, and I can back it up. I know never think the best people are from the Northeast because they have the headquarters in New York and Washington, things like that. Ha ha. Yeah, right. Like I said, look at a roster of a lot of NFL teams. Look at a roster of so many major college football teams. You'll see a lot of players from California. By the way, Green Bay, backup quarterback for Green Bay, Jordan Love, guess where he played? Liberty High School here in Bakersfield. I did the last two games. He won a section championship when he was there. Okay, Chris Barnes, starting linebacker. Where did he play? At Liberty in Bakersfield. Played with Jordan Love. Two other players in the team played at UCLA. Now, UCLA is not doesn't generally have a good defense, but they have some good individual players, which is kind of amazing to me. Okay, by the way, I was talking about some of the regionals taking place. North Division 3AA, Grant from Sacramento at El Cerrito, who's undefeated, close to where my sister lives in the Bay Area. That's Friday night at 7:30. South Division 3AA, University City at San Jacinto, Friday at 7:30 p.m., South Division 2A, Etowanda at Granite Hills, Saturday at 6. North Division 3A, Bandon against Bellarmine at San Jose City College, Saturday at 6 p.m. South Division 3A, Laguna Hills at Birmingham, Saturday at 6 o'clock. Interesting, right? Very interesting. Some more games taking place. Regionals, Division 4AA, in the North. Pleasant Valley and Chico at Escalon, Friday at 7:30 p.m. in the South Division 4AA. Northwood at Kennedy and Delano, Friday at 7:30 p.m. I'm doing that game. Kennedy 11-2. Northwood of Irvine 13-1. Should be a great game. Fantastic facilities there at Kennedy. Division 4A North. Menlo at San Marin Saturday at 6 in the South. Granite Hills at Laguna Beach Saturday at 6 p.m. Division 5AA North. Ripon Christian at Houston Friday at 7:30 p.m. Division 5AA South. Muir and Palo Verde Friday at 7:30 p.m. Division 5A North, Clear Lake at Orland Saturday at 6. Division 5A South, Chapter, here in Kern County at Walnut in Southern Cal, Saturday at 6 p.m. You've been listening to Mark Men Madness, MMM, here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer has been Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. My email site's markheff20@gmail.com. God bless you. I'll talk to you next week right here, MMM, on Blog Talk Radio. Good night. Take care.